The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Well, what can I say, Parky?
It's the last one.
I'm all rubbied out. 11 months of talking. Rugby league. I was going to say something else.
I thought you stopped yourself very well there, mate.
Talking quality rugby league, I've got to say, it is now the start of the final hooter on loverugbyleague.com. See, it's been going that long now, I can't even say the words correctly.
Yeah, you should have left that bit to me, to be honest, mate.
You go on, you say it then.
You are listening to the loverugbyleague.com podcast here, and it's our final one of the season.
And we're having a party, I'm on the orange juice.
You've really pushed the boat out
there.
We've
got some sausage rolls knocking about. No, we haven't.
I thought that you would have brought pies back from Wigan and the Test.
No pies on offer, man.
No pies?
It was a full English breakfast.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it?
Pushed the boat up.
Hang on.
Not a pie in sight.
It was a 1 o'clock kickoff. What are they doing serving breakfast at 1 o'clock?
Well.
So are you going to tell me, did you have the black pudding?
No. Don't like black pudding.
Mushrooms?
I had the hash brown, I had the bacon and the sausages and that was it. It was scrambled egg. I thought it was scrambled egg.
Any bagels?
In Wigan, you're having a laugh.
Well, you never know.
Barm cake. They have barm cakes. So that counts.
I hear the place is going up market these days.
Listen, they have barm cakes. So that counts. Is that posh enough?
It's posh enough for me, anyway.
They have butter on, so that's posh.
What else do you expect?
Anyway, moving away from the media food, from the third test, as England finally said to New Zealand after 8 years, beat it, because we've won it.
I thought they played really well, actually. I do think that it was a tough win. Really tough win.
Rained a lot as well.
Rained a lot. Very, very close at half time. I actually thought New Zealand played the better rugby of the first half, in all honesty.
So even this chair's giving up. It's been the same chair for 11 months. It needs oiling.
And to be fair, I thought that New Zealand dominated for large chunks of the first half. They had that try from Nightingale. What a try it was as well, 36 minutes in. That followed Whitehead's opener of the game, and that came after Widdop kicked a goal in the very first 5 minutes.
I thought England were going to blow it at the end, and New Zealand hit back right at the death. You're thinking, no, it's not going to happen again.
They gave a few restless moments.
Bite your nails time.
Yeah, my nails have gone. Man, you think that's come from 11 months of rugby league action and not knowing who's winning what.
So you get the gist of what we're on about over the next couple of minutes. 40-odd minutes or so of the final hooter of 2015 for me and you anyway. So as always, everybody does it, don't they? They have the awards given out. So the final hooties make a welcome return.
Yep, they came out last year, didn't they?
They did, and they're back again.
We dished them out, we've gone out, we've collected them all off last year's winners. We've got a whole stack of them to present this evening.
We've got an extended one because we've got 1, 2, 3, 4.
You could have counted them up beforehand, to be honest.
We've got 11 subjects to hand out, man. 11 hooties to hand out.
Yeah, so we want plenty of rounds of applause. In fact, have we got a sound effect for a round of applause? I don't think we have we?
Is that all right?
It'll do.
Okay, then. Right, what we're going to talk about, the third test. It rained. Great to see a full house, by the way. But I was surprised, right? You're saying it was a sellout, but there still was a couple of empty seats around the ground. I didn't get that.
Was that not more to do with the RFL?
Health and safety?
No, was that not more to do with the RFL and they asked for so many for dignitaries and the dignitaries didn't turn up because it was raining?
The Prawn Butty Brigade.
Yeah, do you not think it was some of that? Because the rest of the ground looked pretty full. Certainly the far stand opposite where the TV cameras were looked packed to the rafters. The end where the Wigan fans normally sit, that looked packed to the rafters, to be honest. Even the end which had all the... which would normally be the away end at Wigan, that was plentiful with people as well. So, no, I think it was a good attendance, 24,741.
Atmosphere. I mean, a lot of people criticised the atmosphere. It'd been a bit flat at Hull. Wasn't that great in London, but it's a lot more of a rugby league feel about it in Wigan.
So what you're saying, we need three tests a year in Wigan? Yeah. Well, I wouldn't mind that. A couple down at Warrington, though, as
even
well.
The band turned up. They weren't at Hull, the band, and they definitely didn't go down to London either. Have heard them, but they were there in fine instrumental voice on Saturday.
I don't know whether I agree with you, because I have to admit, if I bought tickets that were sitting just to the side of that band, I think I would have wrapped his trombone around his neck.
It adds to the atmosphere.
adds to the atmosphere. Don't get me started on atmosphere. Do you mean they didn't just crank the noise level up like they do at certain Super League grounds where they think, well, we'll play everything at 120 decibels here. Is this just me getting old?
That's just you getting old.
I'm getting grumpy. It's getting towards the end of the season. That's why, isn't it?
Anyway, a lot of the people were calling for the names of Matty Smith to be included, Jermaine McGilvery to be included, to try and freshen up the England attack and give them better options. And I thought it actually worked, actually. I thought McGilvery's energy was just tremendous and Smith was just so controlling.
Who'd have thought it? Pick a halfback at halfback and he controls a game for you. See, we should get this coach another contract, shouldn't we?
He's bound to get one. He was getting asked lots of times in the press conference at the end of it, but he kept on saying to it, fair enough, to his credit, he'll deal with it when it matters.
Yeah, and the RFL have already said that. They're not in any rush to renegotiate. They're going to take it and go through a process,
aren't they? They're not going to get... Not going to say you're not going to have the job now. He's just beaten New Zealand for the first time in 8 years in a test series. Hang on. No, you're not up to the job. We're going to get a new coach.
To be fair, it's one of the first test series we've played in 8 years as well, in fairness, because we've had four nations, haven't we?
We have.
Which have come to the fore for a lot of that period. We had a World Cup or two in that time frame as well. So, we don't get to play these series. And I think that the crowds in this series, I know you've already hinted at the atmospheres, Adrian, but the crowds that have come out actually suggest that we should do more of this international rugby malarkey.
The appetite's there, isn't it?
It definitely is, yeah. And just a big up for Jermaine McGilvery as well.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I actually thought that...
I'm getting in the party mood, man.
He played some tremendous stuff. I mean, you know what you get with him. He's just going to tech on everybody. He's going to try and rampage over the top, and if he gets half a gap, he's going to be through it and scoring tries, you know. And
get him in the headlock and rip their heads off.
I thought it was a great performance from him in fairness, and Smith was very controlling at halfback. I don't know why we're picking Widdup. I have to admit, I'm going to sound a bit negative here. I don't know why we're picking Gareth Widdup.
There's no room for negativity now. We've won,
yeah, but you can still look at it in a different light, can't you?
That's like saying New Zealand can look back and think, well, Benji Marshall would have been over. Well, they might have done something.
No,
better.
That's different. That's different because they picked who they picked and we were stuck with Widdup, but we did have other options in the squad that could have gone to standoff, and I would have personally picked a different standoff as well.
Now, you know my thoughts.
I would have gone with
the Brown.
I would have gone with Williams if he's in that squad. And I'm not disagreeing with you here with regards to Brown. I think he's been tremendous all season at Widnes. He's been brilliant since he's walked through the door there, in all honesty. And he is possibly, along with Danny Brough, two of the most influential halfbacks that there is in Super League. I would play them two, to be honest.
Danny Brough is Scottish.
He is now, but that's only because they won't pick him for England.
He's Danny McBrough.
Danny McBrough, yeah. With that local tartan flavour. Yeah, but I think that... this test series has shown a couple of things. You know, it's shown that we've got a world-class pack. We've known that for a couple of seasons, haven't we? We've got, four or five prop forwards that can really do a job and take it to any team on earth. And what we've also got as well is a good bench, very forward-orientated. But I would just like to see the ball get out a little bit more to the backs.
That's your thoughts. Let's get the thoughts of the coaches, shall we? First of all, Steve Kearney.
Well, New Zealand coach Steve Kearney, commiserations on defeat, but it's been a cracking series.
Yeah, it has been a wonderful series, tightly fought series. But I thought the English team were the better team today, and I thought they handled things, better, a little bit better than what we did. And we gave ourselves an opportunity at the end there, but I thought overall the English side was a better side today.
But in that second half, early in the second half, you seemed to be in control and just waiting for that final pass, and it just didn't go. And I suppose that's credit to the English defence.
Without a doubt, and I think they played that way, last week to a certain degree. It was a real tight affair last week, where the trial on defence from both teams was really stood out. So. But I thought from that point of view, we did have the momentum, or we had the opportunity to execute a couple of things down on their trial line. But I thought, you know, we've made it too hard for ourselves.
I suppose from an England fan's point of view, that last minute, it was a little bit Harlem Globetrotters, and we're thinking, hello, I'd imagine they were thinking, score in the corner, the kick, etc. I'm not sure who'd have won the series, but it was touch and go, and your boys did their all to try and do that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that. They've, you know, I think they've played, you know, with a lot of, you know, heart and integrity and, you know, spirit the whole, you know, campaign. And you know, they never stopped trying. And, you know, they, like I said, they gave themselves an opportunity with, you know, 4 or 5 minutes to go. You know, it was very similar to the match last week too, you know. So that's what I'm saying. I think it's been a real... tightly fought contest, and you know, one that you know, I thought, you know, certainly England deserved to win.
Well, Steve McNamara, first of all, congratulations on a 2-1 series clincher win against the number one side in the world.
Yeah, very pleasing. Really tough, really, really tough series. Attritional, very, very difficult. And to come out on the right side of that, I think it's credit to everybody involved.
I know in 2007 you were assistant, but obviously you're the head man now. So is it a sweeter feeling, although you were involved last time?
Yeah, it's sweet, very sweet. You know, being head coach of the group is pleasing for us, for myself, should I say. But it's not about me at all, really. It's about the whole group. I've got a group of staff who have been unbelievable in their preparation of the group of players, a group of players who have just tirelessly worked to get themselves in this position. So it's them that I'm pleased for.
How much pressure was on the team itself, you know, because, you know, 1-1, and, you know, are they going to, like, blow it? Are they going to step up to the plate?
Yeah, huge pressure. Pressure all around, you know, pressure from within, pressure from outside. We're very confident. Last week's loss in London, all up being a loss, the way we defended, gives a great deal of confidence that we could get the job done this week. So I think there was a bit of an edge about the players today. They knew they were going to get it done.
And the players that came in, all right, is unfortunate for those that went out, just shows the strength of the squad, but they certainly showed the character, didn't they?
They did. It's always disappointing when you leave players out, but you do it for a reason. Players took it really well, and I think the two players who came in really justified their starting spots this week.
And final for me, Lockers, cometh the hour, cometh the man, the captain. I mean, adjectives go out to the window, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I still don't think he gets the credit he deserves. He's a tremendous player. We're a very young team, and his leadership and his captaincy was world class.
World class. He had a decent game on Saturday, but he didn't get my vote for man of the series. I went for young John Bateman.
You went for Bateman?
Yeah.
You see, I think that Bateman has a massive future in front of him. I would like to see him play his proper position rather than a centre.
I think a lot of journalists only put his name on the hat, in the bag, when they were giving the votes out, because he scored the winning try.
I think... you know, I mean...
Am I being uncomplimentary towards Sean O'Loughlin?
I don't know. I've got really mixed views with him. I mean, I don't think it's been his greatest season for Wigan, so I don't think he should have had the opportunity of leading England. But I do think that as a leader, he has led this England side particularly well in this Test series. He's got through a lot of work, some of the unsung stuff as well. He's not been doing full 80 minutes, which has been interesting, because they've been using Brett Ferris off the bench.
They have, yeah.
To sort of relieve him for 20, 25 minutes a game. And I think that has really helped him, actually, because it's kept him quite fresh. So yes, he has led from the front. Do I think he's man of the series? No. Do I think Bateman was man of the series? No.
You always disagree with me.
We make history with disagreeing, yeah, with each,
okay,
other.
Okay, then who would you make would have made your man of series?
Robbie.
You've got a love affair with James Robey. Oh, you've got a man crush with him. No, I had it with Chris Hill 2 years ago. You've got it with James Robey now.
Oh, he's a fantastic player. He's superb. He would have got my vote for Man of Steel. he would have won Mayor of Lee. I do think he's a tremendous player.
He is.
He just gets through so much work. He gets the team going forward. Because at the time, it's almost like they chucked Hodgson on to start. I would have swapped him around a little bit more than what actually happened. But, yeah, I just think that whenever Roby was on the field, England played the best stuff.
Well, we're not going to hear from James Roby, thankfully. Because...
What are you suggesting? Are you suggesting that I'd be swooning?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be watching you swooning. So we're going to catch up with Sean O'Loughlin and Steve Manning, asking the questions once again.
Sean O'Loughlin, the England captain, winning captain of a 2-1 series. How good is that?
Oh, it's fantastic. A great feeling. Had a great start to the series, getting one up and then just coming short last week. But yeah, the response the boys gave this week was great.
Because given like what happened 5 weeks ago with your club head on, to finish like this, and also congratulations on the man of the season, does it get any better? And what a way to finish a season.
Compared to a month ago, disappointment in Challenge Cup, to manage to get this series win and get our hands on a trophy, yeah, it kind of softens that blow from Wigan, kind of from that point of view. But yeah, just on an England perspective, we've been working so hard for a lot of years now to try and get over, to get this result and get the trophy in our hands was a great feeling.
You've led from example, obviously, getting the award that you've got, but two crucial tries when it mattered as well.
Yeah, always good to score tries. You don't get too many, but yeah, to get for England and finishing off like this at Wigan was a good, great feeling.
Because, like, you know, they were in it, weren't they? And that as it were, too. Well, it looked a bit too the wind after the fire, but then again, yeah. It came at the end.
Yeah, from getting over there, again, the try award, it's kind of was the killer blow, really. But then sat back a little bit too much, let them get two pretty quick tries, but put us under a bit more pressure. But yeah, ultimately, we just about did enough.
And then George were unlucky, but Matty came in, showed what a class act he is, and even Jermaine McGilvery, he didn't get a chance to show how fast he is going down the wing.
That's part and parcel of international rugby. You come in, George did a great job, so did Budger. Steve Forty, we needed something slightly different, and Matty and Jermaine both coming in, it was fantastic too.
And we're beating the number one side, first time we've beaten a Southern Hemisphere side for I think about 8 years, so that's even a bigger pinnacle for us, and it's now the way forward.
Yeah, it gives the boys, we've no right now to go on and beat them next year, but I think what this gives us is it gives a lot of the boys who haven't beaten these sides in their careers, really, it gives them some confidence and know how to do it. And coming up the next time we're together as England, we know we've got the ability to do that, and we can go out there and give it our best.
Thanks for your time, Sean.
Cheers. Thank you.
Sean O'Loughlin, let me clear my throat.
Are you okay now?
I'm all right, yeah. I'm just doing a Sean O'Loughlin.
I thought that was your Dennis Betts impression.
No, that was Sean O'Loughlin.
That was Sean O'Loughlin. I tell you what.
I think Steve couldn't have stood him next to the biggest, noisiest door ever.
It just seemed like there was tons and tons of noise coming out of that door. Yeah, was it next to the England door? Was it all the celebrations? Do you reckon that's where it was?
Yeah. Oh, the New Zealand dressing room, slamming the door shut.
Yeah, just kept making the noise in the background.
Yeah. But thinking about the England getting hands on some silverware at long last.
Right? I mean, it's great, isn't it?
But was it just me, or did that look, or the Baskerville shield just look like the league leader's shield?
Well, I've been looking on eBay.
Have you got a job lot of them knocking about?
I reckon that they have, yeah. You can get a cracking shield on eBay for £124.99.
Right, we're buying one.
Right, that's it. We're going to get one. We're going to have it engraved, the final hooter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll, what
we'll and who are we going to give it to, though?
Well, what we'll have to do, we'll have to have a test series, and then we'll give it to the winner.
Yeah,
it'll be me against you. Table football or table rugby.
Table rugby league. Remember table we used to play that years ago. Yeah. Matchbox rugby.
Yes. Or
it's on, man.
Tuppenny bit.
Three test match series.
Three test match series.
I'll get the matchbox. You provide the rug.
Okay. Yeah. And are we going to do home and away?
It's got to be home and away. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll do it over two legs.
Yeah. And then for the third test, we can flip the coin and see who has home advantage.
Hang on, mate. Scratch that. I've just seen another shield. £97.49. Oh, we've got to have that one. Hang on. Oh no. There's a right. Oh, £37. It's going down in price.
Love him. Just get it. Bye.
I thought eBay was meant to be, you know, you put your bids on and you just got everything. But I've been outbid. Sorry, mate.
Hurry up. Buy it.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the final hooter on Radio General.
Now, I know we've got an update on Shields that we can play for in our Matchbox Rugby League Test Series, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Yeah. We can actually play for a Baskerville Shield.
Yeah.
But it's a fridge magnet.
Get it bought.
£2.75.
Bargain.
That's more like
bargain.
It, isn't it?
I think they should give them out. At the end of the normal season next year, that'd be fabulous.
That's it, yeah.
You can go into your club, if your team win it, and say, where's the magnet? And it'd be there, standing proud on the fridge.
What, get it with a little stand?
Yeah. On the fridge.
Right.
Marvellous.
On the fridge.
Marvellous.
Trouble is, you get some people who just be busy burrowing in the fridge, wouldn't you? They'd ignore the magnet on the front. It's just one of those. But yeah, unfortunately, Adrian, I got outbid. I got outbid for the proper shield, so...
Did you?
Yeah. They obviously, I wasn't quick enough with me buying now.
Ah.
Somebody else decided that they would do it.
So we can't have that then?
So unfortunately, no, it's gone a bit haywire.
Always the case, isn't it?
It is always the case. And you could say it was a little bit like a New Zealand performance gone a bit haywire, because there were times there when they really threatened.
Well, that's a bit like this computer. This has gone haywire because I can't find our audio, man.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just rush round dead
quick. Hurry up quick, because you're leaving me on my own and I don't like this. But I do like the look of that fridge magnet. I'm going to whoop you, man. It's going to be 3-0. Right, we're on. Yeah, that'll do. Cool, man. Hurry up, run back quick. Because we've heard from Sean O'Loughlin. I thought the two star players of the game on Saturday was the one that intrigued me anyway, was the wing showdown between McGilvery and Nightingale.
And they were directly opposite each other as well, weren't they? So it was a fascinating watch. I thought that McGilvery was very strong in bringing the ball back. They tried testing him out throughout the game and he answered all the questions, didn't he, when they were kicking the ball down his end. There was one time in the first half where I think he nearly fumbled it under his own post, but he managed to regain his composure, still made a couple of metres.
Have we got that fridge magnet yet?
Yeah, I've pressed buy.
Oh, yeah. I've pressed buy. It's going to look good on my fridge, that.
It's going to look better on mine.
Anyway, back to the real
But stuff. Nightingale, for me, has been the best Rugby League world winger for the last four or five years.
I wasn't a fan of Nightingale. When he first hit the scene a couple
Nobody
of years ago.
Nobody talks about him.
When he first hit the scene a couple of years ago, thinking, why on earth is he involved in the New Zealand Test team? He's not good enough. But
he's fantastic.
I've watched him over this three-game series and I've caught glimpses of him in the Aussie season as well, and you're thinking, wow, what a player. I mean, some of the touches and the way he set up Tuivasa Sheck for his travel is just unreal.
Where have you been? I mean, seriously.
Listen, I've been in darkest witness, so come on.
Man, you don't get to see many good wingers do you, to be fair?
No, I had one of them since Martin O'Fire.
That's quite some time ago now, but back to Nightingale. I do think over the last 3 or 4 years, he's just been in this tremendous form every time he's pulled on a black and white shirt for New Zealand. I just think he is a tremendous player. Fantastic. He's certainly one of my favourite world players. But a quick word on Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, and I know it's going to have to be quick. What a series he's had. I mean, he ran for 268 metres in that test at Wigan, 222 at London, 150 at Hull. The man's a machine. Oh, I don't know. I've not added them all together and I've not brought my calculator, so it's a lot.
Amateur.
What? Yeah,
you should have had them all there ready.
I'm going to be sitting on my armchair for the next couple of weeks.
Okay, let's hear from the wing sensations, Jason Nightingale and Jermaine McGilvery.
Yeah, I think we could have done a lot better on our behalf and finished off a few of our situations that we've created. I think we held in the grind pretty well, but once we got down good ball, created some things without being able to fully finish them off the way we'd like.
Over the 3 games, though, 3 tough encounters.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of back and forward, a lot of grinding footy. You know, that was awesome to be able to get across the line. And you know, it was Kenny Dow's the only other back to score the tries. I think it shows how forward-driven the game was and how much of a slog they were. But, yeah, awesome to get across the line and just unfortunate that didn't get there again.
In the overall scheme of things, how much of a blow to New Zealand is this losing the series to England?
Overall, in the perspective, you put things in perspective, it's not a big thing. But right now, it's a bit of pain. It hurts. We're all professional athletes, and all of us have the goal of winning every game we're involved in. And yes, but in the big picture, I'm sure we'll go back and learn our lessons and figure out things we did well and things we can improve on. But full credit to England for the way that they've approached the series. They've been awesome and. Yeah, they've been better than us.
Overall, have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, we have had some great experiences, and like I said, right now, I'd say no, I haven't enjoyed it, but I'm sure when I look back in the future, the experience we've had, the rugby league that was played, I'll look back in envy and my experience over here in England. The atmosphere is always awesome, you know, whether the crowd's 10,000 or 20,000, you know, we had our first game against Leeds was... packed house, and that the atmosphere there for we were playing a club team was amazing, and we've had nothing but great support. I think the English crowds, every time you come out they clap, whereas when you're playing the NRL and you come out, you all you hear is booing. Great crowds to play in front of, really.
Jermaine McGilvery test debut, and it's a win for England. Jermaine McGilvery test debut, and it's a win for England and a good day out for yourself.
Yeah, the main thing, great win for England against the number one ranked team in the world. You know, it's been a tough series. It's been even tougher to watch the first 2 games, but I got my debut today and I'm over the moon. I can't even really put it into much words, but it's what I dreamed of, and plus more, it's an amazing, and I can't wait, you know, to celebrate tonight.
When you saw your name on the team sheet, did you get a good night's sleep last night?
Yeah, you know, I sleep well before games, and you know, I'm not really nervous until I get out there on the field. Same with Huddersfield. Any game I play, I'm not nervous until I get out there on the field. I need to get my hands on the ball early to, you know, to settle me in. It was the same today. You know, I felt a bit nervous, a bit scared, especially like with the anthem and the hacker and stuff. I've never really experienced that before. But you know, once I got that early carry, that settled me down and got me into the game.
So you've been dreaming about it for a long time. Did it live up to your expectations today?
Yeah, I asked the boys, because I knew I was playing from Tuesday, and I asked the boys, what should I expect? They said, oh, just expect a fast game and it's going to be physical. Mm-hmm. Said they're going to try and bang you and it's going to be quick. The ball hardly goes out of play, and, you know. It didn't disappoint. I were blowing at stages, but I got my second win. It was physical, the most physical I've ever experienced. So it's a lot different from Super League. It's a massive step up, but I think I handled it all right. And you know, the boys dug deep in the end, and we got a vital win.
So you mentioned it was a vital win. What do you think the difference was between England and New Zealand today?
I don't know. It was really, really close, but I mean, I reckon our determination. Both teams have got quality players, but our determination and our game management got us through in the end. You know, we played really well in the second half, and they was on the ropes just before half time. So I reckon that caught up with them come second half, and they just pushed on in the end. But it was a bit too little, too late, really.
What's for yourself? The only disappointment was not to score in your debut.
No, not at all. You know, when people ask me about my try-scoring tallies and stuff like this, I'm a yardage player. I'm the guy who I like to try and get my team on the front foot from the back of the field, and I feel like I did that today, so I'm happy with that. If I score a try, that's a bonus. But my thing is, I tried to get the team on the front foot, and I think I did that today.
By being involved with England, you're certainly going to improve your game and be a bigger benefit for Huddersfield next year.
Yeah, even if I didn't play today, just training with these sorts of quality players, it's amazing. In training, you could just tell the difference from what I'm used to. So even if I didn't play, I could take something back to Huddersfield and, you know, maybe teach the young lads or tell the young lads what it's like to play with quality players and how they train and stuff. But now that I've played against a top side, I have even more experience what I could bring back to Huddersfield. So it's all going to improve me and improve people who want the help or advice from me.
You've had a taste of it today. You'll be looking to have more of a taste of it in the Four Nations next year and possibly the next World Cup.
Yeah, I can't really think that far forward, because if I have a rubbish season for Huddersfield, Steve's not going to look at me. But, you know, obviously I want to be a part of this again. It was amazing to play this game today. So I'm gonna work hard and train hard and hopefully have a good season with Huddersfield. Hopefully we win something as well, because it was good to win something today. And then hopefully I'll try get picked again, get into Steve's squad again.
Two great players.
Two very good players, yeah. I summed it up before we actually played it, didn't I? But
yeah.
Both have been great over the course of this year. I know you've only just discovered Mr. Nightingale, but, you know, I think he's been great for about 3 years.
He was on the radar for me during the World Cup 2 years ago, but I didn't rate him then.
Oh.
I really never rated him. It's only been a sort of glimpse, like I mentioned, I've saw glimpses of him.
Superb player.
At the back end of the Australian season, I've watched him closely over the last 3 games, and I think, wow, what a player.
Fantastic. But just looking, and I can give you an eBay update, we have ourselves a fridge magnet to play for. We have it.
In there.
Yeah. Well, what we'll do is...
Ours is better than the league leader's shield, actually.
Well,
I think the NFL will be jealous when they see that.
Well, next season, before anything is decided, we'll have a picture of us both with them both, which we'll get put on loverugbyleague.com.
Yeah, why not? Hey. That'd be good.
Fantastic.
Super smashing great.
Super smashing great. Look at what you could have won, Adrian.
As he used to say on Bulls. But let's move away from darts and talk rugby league, shall we? It is the final hooter of the season. It's time for the final hooters. Oh, are we going to still talk England and New Zealand? We've done all that, haven't we?
I think
we've been there and done it.
I think we've talked about that game. Deserved series win for England. Let's hope that they can do it again next year in the Four Nations, eh?
Four Nations and then the World Cup.
Oh, I'm not getting carried away. I just want the Four Nations first.
Okay.
The World Cup can wait. Four Nations is where it's at next season.
Back on home soil for England as well.
I know. Can't ask for a better better chance of winning it, can you, than on home soil?
Okay, let's do our hooties, the final hooties. It's our award tonight. Everybody has them, don't they? First subject up.
Hang on. Before you, I must say that you're looking particularly dapper.
I've got my dicky bow on.
You've slipped on your dicky bow whilst we've been in the break there.
Got my rugby league tuxedo on. Very dapper.
Hang on, have you got your Bobby Ball braces as well?
Yeah. I was going to twang them, but it hurt.
Yeah. Don't do that.
So I won't do that.
That's a bit scary as well.
And it's not a subject, it's category. First category, best kit, worst kit of the year.
Best kit, Catalans away.
Best kit for me, Widnes's Magic Weekend kit.
Oh, the stripy number.
Yeah.
Stripes don't do anything for a man of my physique, unfortunately. Not vertical, anyway.
My worst kit of the year, Whitehaven's pink number, the summer bash. Too bright, man. My eyes couldn't take it. Give me a headache.
And I'm going to go Workington's away kit. That was an orange number this year, and I don't think any
orange
team looks particularly
Workington
great in orange. No, particularly not Workington, like you mentioned. Just didn't suit them.
Next subject. I keep saying subject.
Subject. Next award.
Next award.
Hang on. We didn't have the round of applause for the first lot.
Well done. Best rugby league ice cream.
Ooh, this is a tough one because we only saw about three proper days of summer rugby weather, didn't
everyone
we?
Everyone eating ice lollies and ice creams.
I'm going to go for Blackpool. I thought that they were handing out Cornettos like they were confetti, weren't they? And I certainly had my first share over that weekend.
That's what I've gone for, the free Cornettos, only because they were free.
Yeah.
Let's highlight the word free.
Free, yeah. And I think there was other people in the crowd which also indulged that day, not just us two.
Very nice indeed. I had a breeze frame, though, where that many got
a brain freeze
over the weekend.
A brain freeze?
Yeah.
You've actually got to have a brain to have a freeze, though, Adrian.
Yeah, the ice cream brain freeze.
Hang on.
Not good when you're working on rugby league, anyway. Next category, everyone's rugby league favourite, the best pie of rugby league.
The best pie of rugby league. It's got to be something in Wigan, hasn't it? Because they usually bring out the pies before games
for
the press.
Not for me, it isn't. I've gone for the nice, meaty, juicy ones at Rochdale.
Do you know where they got them from?
No.
Did you ask them?
No.
Oh, see, we could have got them in.
Standing they were.
We could have got them in for our Christmas do.
Who have you gone for?
I've already said the pies at Wigan.
Oh, you've already... I thought you were going to say...
Yeah, I was going to do the pies at Wigan. Although, I must say, Morrison's at Lee does a fine job in providing food, and they have some excellent pies.
You can buy pies from other supermarkets.
You definitely can do, yeah. They're not paying me for mentioning them, by the way.
But the pies at the kiosk at Rochdale, if you're ever going to a rugby league game next year, get to Spotland and try the pies.
So was that a meat and potato or was it a steak?
Beautiful they were, yeah. Best view and worst view within rugby league?
Right, best view for me, I think I'm going to go with Leeds Rhinos lifting the cup. That's the best view that I saw over the course of the season. Right, all of them.
I was thinking about grounds. But
oh, right, okay.
Not the best view. That you're on about.
Right, okay. Well, what about the gantry at Rochdale? You always get a good view at Rochdale.
See, I know, as you know me, I'm a big fan of Liffey Park in Oxford being the most picturesque ground in rugby league. But this year, I'm bucking the trend. I'm saying St James's Park. Fabulous.
St James's Park, eh?
Newcastle.
Yeah. You can see what you're doing there. Yeah.
Worst view for me, it's got to be the jungle. That's stand. Terrible. You pay £25... And if you sit there during a rainstorm, the wind just gets over and blows it straight in. And when the ball goes up above the stand, you can't see nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
Can't see nothing.
Mind you, you could say that about Headingley as well, couldn't you?
Yeah.
If you're in the press seats, as soon as the ball goes above head height. And I tell you what, I'll raise you a Castleford.
Okay.
And I'll play you a Wakefield, Bellevue.
Oh.
When we went, I was stood up all through the game. There was no seat for me.
There wasn't, yeah, that's right. You're straddling, you're on, I can't say that, can I? You decided you can't really sit on two seats, you just stood up in the middle of the press bench.
I was nearly sitting on Ray French's knee, and I thought, well, I don't know what
I'm
the state
sure
of his
Ray
knees
would
are
liked it.
Yeah, I don't know what the state of his knees are these days, so I thought I'd best stand up here and just breathe in, so that's what I did. But you're right, every time anybody put any sort of kick in of any height, I had no idea where the ball went.
I don't think the Wakefield defence did as well.
Not on that night we went.
Next category, the surprise package.
Well, I would like to say what I received for my 36th birthday, but I think you're meaning from a rugby league point of view again, aren't you? Mm. And, surprise package. Let me go with Halifax.
I've gone with Halifax as well.
Yeah.
On the same wavelength. Twice in one show.
Twice in one season. It's got to happen.
It's never happened before, this. But yeah, Halifax, I thought they were great towards the back end of the season, despite the slow start. And they ended up being the form team of rugby league. And they surprised a few teams in that qualifying eight as well.
They did. Richard Marshall's done a fine job there, and he's won his side a lot of money. Yeah. Because they finished higher up in those eights. But more of the same next season. The expectation level will rise in Halifax, eh?
Biggest underachievers of the season, I've said Catalans. Full of internationals, Australian imports, loads of money being spent. Never even made the top four. That's not good enough for Catalans. In fact, did they make the six off the top of my head? No, they never.
No, they didn't. No, I think they finished seventh, didn't they?
Yeah.
Or was it eighth?
Not good enough for that.
I'm going to go... it's a toss-up for me between Salford and Widnes, because you sat there 12 months ago and you said Widnes would be in the top four.
They
were nowhere near. Their away form sadly letting them down a lot over the course of the season.
Well, I think you rectify that, just persuade everybody else to get an eye pitch. Win it.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I'm sure there's some lads at Lee Miners who'd be disagreeing with you at this moment in time, having played on it twice over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. The biggest rugby league story.
The biggest rugby league story.
Salford saga for me, man.
Salford saga.
Yeah.
Expand. What's the Salford saga?
It just rolls on, doesn't it? It's one thing after another. Players in dispute. Coaches being sacked. Marwan having a bop at anybody who wants to criticise.
I think he's settling down there at Salford now. It's took him 72 players and four managers.
Four managers, yeah.
But, you know, things are finally starting to settle down, and I can see them having a good run now at Salford, in fairness. I'm going to go with biggest rugby league story, Sam Tompkins coming back to Wigan. I think that is a massive story. It's great to have him back, but even that was trumped over the last couple of weeks, wasn't it? Big Sam Burgess. Who expected that?
Yeah, but he's gone in the RL, so that don't count.
Yeah, I'm still having it. It's a rugby league. He's back in rugby league. We love him in his rugby league.
Comedy moment from the season. I've gone for when the sprinklers went off at Blackpool during the summer bash. And unfortunately, for the cameraman, he was in the way of it. He got absolutely soaked while the game was still going on.
I'm going to go Featherstone Rovers. Just because we've not mentioned them.
All right, okay.
And they've not... Well, they have won something, haven't they? They won the Shield, didn't they?
They did. You better take it back.
So, yeah, okay. Sorry, Featherstone fans.
Okay. Club of the year, I've gone for Leeds.
And you know who I'm going for? Lee Miners.
Oh, okay, because treble winners.
Treble.
Yeah, treble.
Hey, that's what we like.
Can Leeds pull it off next year, or will we reveal? Can they deal with the fact there's no Peacock and Sinfield and Lulai?
Tell you what, it's a massive, massive task that lies ahead for Leeds Rhinos.
But can Lee Miners back up after losing both the coaches who decided that's enough?
Well, you know, this is the thing. I know at the moment they're out celebrating with Wigan's Mer, so,
okay.
Fair play to him for having a civic reception and well played Lee Miners, but it's one of those seasons that I don't think you'll ever see again as far as an amateur team is concerned, so well done.
We get plenty of fights in rugby league, so it's got to be fight of the year next category, and for me, it's got to be the first game of the season between Lee and Bradford. What a punch-up that was.
It was definitely a memorable one, wasn't it?
It was up there, wasn't it? We had just one fight. We had three fights.
There was three.
Talk about getting value for money.
Three different skirmishes over the course of the game.
It
was ace. Oh, that has to go down as my rugby league game of the season, because it had everything. It had sin bins, it had high tackles, it had illegal plays, it had some brilliant tries. And, as a Lee fan...
So you just introduced a new subject. But anyway, your fight of the year, I've gone for that one.
My fight of the year? Oh, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take the easy option here.
And a magic moment?
My magic moment has to be, and I'm going to get a bit sentimental here, because, the Keighley Cougars club, as we all know, has struggled and been hit all season with what happened with Danny Jones. But it has to be Lizzie going out at Wembley, singing the national anthem, really... being enveloped by the crowd as well. I thought that was absolutely superb.
She actually backed her up as well in Wigan as well. Did a really good re-rendition.
Very passionate singer. I'm looking forward to seeing her.
Tears in my eyes, man.
Was that not just the rain?
That's the rain, sorry. Yeah. So, for the third time in one show, well, I'm going to agree with you.
Blimey. It's almost unheard of this. I am. I don't know what to say. I've come over all emotional. You've actually agreed with me 3 times. We're going to have to change that, you know, mate. We're going to have to change it.
Well, there's always next year.
There is always next year.
We can disagree again.
And bring it on, eh?
Anyway, before we go, we're going to leave the final words to Steve Manning.
Thanks for your time and congratulations.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.